a wiki is something that starts with a blank page, right? Some people think that's a weakness, but it's actually a strength. It gets you to ask all the right questions. How do we use this, right? How do we get agreement as a group to use this tool? Where do we want to put our information, right? How do we want to structure that information?
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Jones, and I'm here today with Ross Mayfield, who's CEO of Social Text. Social Text is a leading enterprise wiki company, and Ross and I will be discussing how wikis are used inside and outside companies, and how they're changing the face of marketing, and what real value wikis provide to marketers. So welcome, Ross, to Marketing Voices.
Yeah, great to talk with you, Jennifer.
So my first question is really, what is a wiki? Short form answer.
Wiki is a group editable website. It's simply a website that anybody can walk up, click edit this page, start typing away, adding links between different pages. It's a relatively simple tool. What's interesting about it is the way that groups of people use it together to create such fundamentally wonderful things like Wikipedia. But the way that most people use wikis is actually kind of behind the firewall with small private groups as just an alternative to email for groups.
So getting into who's using wikis today, give me an idea of just generally, who are you seeing using them?
It is across the spectrum. Over the last 3 years since we founded Social Text, we've kind of noticed the usage change from very small groups, maybe with a little bit more of a technical bent, as typical early adopters, and heavier use within, let's say, tech, financial services, professional services. But now it really crosses, from everywhere from bicycle manufacturer in Northern Carolina to nonprofit organizations, academic institutions like Stanford, USC, Berkeley. A lot of small startups end up using it, but then also it's kind of crossed a threshold over the last year from being used for project communication, lightweight documentation, generally with the benefit of decreasing email volume by about a third, accelerating project cycles by about a quarter, to now different use cases where what we're really doing is building Wikipedias inside the firewall. So for example, we have a customer in London, which is a bank, and they've gone enterprise-wide, and within 6 months, the traffic on their wiki surpassed that of their intranet itself, which is a pretty remarkable thing.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's not something you can pull off just on its own. I mean, there's a lot of grassroots interest in this tool. Social Text is a combination of both wikis and weblogs. Over the last couple of years, they've gotten a lot of press, a lot of interest and attention, and partially because of the empowerment that it gives not just an individual, but groups, constituencies that would form where otherwise they might not. Adoption isn't something that's guaranteed just out of that bottom-up interest. There are better practices of using the tool because it relies a lot more on people and what they contribute to it and how they agree to work with the tool than the tool itself.
So we were talking before the podcast started about how you launched yourself and getting into kind of some of those applications. Can you share with our listeners kind of where you started and how you used it on a very low budget?
I think we're a good little gorilla story in that when we started in December 2002, it was an interesting time where most people didn't know about wikis. Some people knew about blogs. We started the company in absence of resources. You know, the worst time in history to start a company happens to be a really darn good time to start one. We had just four co-founders, $5,000 that we seeded it with. We got out there and we were really active in the communities that we needed to work with. We started to blog really heavily, both not just myself, but all the people in the company were out there active in the blogosphere, something that continues this day. And even today, any Social Text employee could contribute a blog post without any moderation or anything like that directly to the homepage of our site. We, of course, use our own tool in terms of using wikis to form different groups. I think we helped bring together a lot of the key players in the social software industry at some very early times that ended up leading to great standards efforts. We have a version of our product that we provide as a service that's called Event Space. And for that, you can find us at most of the significant tech conferences in particular, where we're using a wiki to facilitate the collaboration between attendees, a place where anybody could, you know, throw up something that we wouldn't think of, like a help wanted sign, or rides wanted to or from the airport, or organizing bird of a feather dinners or sessions, that kind of thing. We're also really active in trying to host these innovative ad hoc events that have been happening throughout the Valley over the last year or so. The most famous one is maybe Bar Camp, which was hosted at our office. And that uses the open space methodology, where the only two rules is, you know, if you come, you should contribute with something within a start time and an end time. And the law of 2 feet, when you get bored by a session, you can vote with your own 2 feet and go into something else. And so it's a very open format, a lot like the hallway conversations that exist at a traditional conference. So we're hosting, our next one is DCamp for Design and Usability. The interesting thing about that is it's a conference that brings designers and developers, people who are really good at user experience, usability, and people who are hacking together code that probably could use a little bit of that input, particularly on the open source developer side.
So in terms of getting back to, as we look at who's really using this and how they're using this, give me some sample of companies that are sort of more in the marketing arena, given
right.
that this is a marketing voice.
Right. So it's an interesting time where, for example, we set up a wiki called at socialtext.net/bizblogs with Chris Anderson of Wired Magazine to try to track who in the Fortune 500 was actually blogging. Turns out very few. There's only about 5% of them. That's according to data collected by, anybody who wanted to contribute it, but it's the best source of that kind of data you can find right now. The interesting thing is most significant enterprises today are looking at engaging in social media publicly, and they're trying to figure out what the right strategy is, but they've got to take a fairly conservative approach. So they take the very first step, which is to employ the great listening tools that have been created for the blogosphere. So they're taking advantage of smart searches through Technorati and PubSub and otherwise. The interesting thing is we typically work with our customers to take kind of an inside-out approach, right? You don't want to just jump into the high-risky things like that you may not have defined a real goal for, like should we have all of our employees blog? The first step is really enable the use of weblogs inside the company. Give employees that have expressed an interest in blogging an opportunity to do so, and kind of a dry run, right? That gives them comfort with kind of the form, the tool itself, and have them encourage them to have conversations about what's happening to the brand on the outside world. Also, similarly, set up a wiki where you start to create some content, let's say the best practices of blogging. You may go so far as to draft and create a blogging policy. But it may be just through that internal conversation that you choose to do the very lowest risk move that you could do, like offering up RSS feeds of existing content. There's no harm in that whatsoever, unless you're already making advertising revenue off of the said content. The basic approach is you have this opportunity to take advantage of the grassroots interests of these tools. Individual employees do believe there's something different here, that suddenly I have the power of the press. In all practice, all those policies we've already created. When we went through the transition of adopting email, we put little publishing systems on anybody's desk. Anybody could leak to the press at any time. You could broadcast with a massive email to a large group, right? So that power is in people's hands already. Maybe they don't realize it with the same transparency and persistence that you get with blogs and wikis on the outside. But there's something to tap into with this interest. At the very least, it's an opportunity for media training, for media literacy. And I actually think, let's say, for your average PR firm, as they're undergoing this whole transition, there's a greater opportunity than what existed before to engage employees and provide services to get them literally on the same page.
So what kind of cost are we talking about here in terms of the average cost for installation?
Right. So part of what's disruptive is, you know, these are not complex technologies, so they don't have the $1 million price tag. You're looking at prices that are closer to, well, starting with free. You know, social text, for example, is free for 5 users or open source communities. It's also, beyond that, you're looking at something like, for a group of 20 users, $100 a month, right? So the cost isn't so much the consideration. There is a little bit of cost, I think, in whether you're engaging your people effectively, whether there's a collaboration with a goal that's worth people's time. But I think that could be said of any way that you'd be managing or working with a group of people anyway.
And give me an idea of return on investment for the people that you have worked with. I mean, again, I realize some of it's confidential, but try to give me some perspective.
Well, I think of it this way. You know, I've already talked about some of the value proposition of decreasing email. So, for example, we had a group at Ziff Davis that had 50 folks that decreased email volume by about a third. That's a soft cost savings in excess of $1 million a year for that group alone, right? For larger deployments, when you look at what we're doing, let's say, at this bank in London, Dresner, Kleiner, Wasserstein, the interesting thing is you've got people doing that small-scale group collaboration. Let's say institutional sales team that would create a meeting agenda, have all their documents and resources in wiki format and attached files, be able to look through their prospect list, talk through it, update the table in real time. They're doing all this otherwise private collaboration very transparently, so the rest of the organization can benefit. They can learn about what they're doing and also learn how they're using the wiki itself. There's a lot of sharing of practices that occurs. But you have to think for your typical portal or intranet, you know, it's a lot like the way that media in general is being disrupted, where you had a editorial process, some technical gatekeepers, only a handful of people had the ability to publish and communicate. There, in a lot of cases, we see up to 30 days in terms of an editorial process to post any content. What we can do is actually collapse that down to a single click.
That's impressive.
Right. Yeah. So you can imagine just simply what that actually, what happens with that quite easily. Yeah.
Have you ever seen among all the people you've worked with that the collaboration actually changes the dynamics of the company to the point that, you know, from a psychology standpoint, they actually start working together better than they had?
Right. So I think, honestly, it's those great intangibles that we're starting to learn about right now. I mean, there's a larger cultural change that these tools can bring about, right? We're still kind of waiting and seeing whether, you know, these things that we all know in theory that transparency is an absolutely great thing. We just don't know that in practice what extra value it creates. We believe that it's leading towards greater innovation, for example. How to measure innovation when there's so many possible inputs into it is a very difficult thing. So all we have so far is, in effect, these anecdotal evidence, right? When we have the CIO of the bank in London saying that my lead users have decreased email volume by 50% and slashed meeting times in half, or I'm sorry, email volume by 75% and slashed meeting times in half, that's fairly remarkable just in terms of a productivity gain, right? The interesting thing, I think, is with what new things folks are going to be able to create together. Part of it is we know we're breaking down silos that didn't really exist for a purpose already, right? And so what the effect is, what products are created that otherwise didn't exist, that we just kind of have to wait and see.
So this new product you announced about a month ago called a Mickey. When I first saw it, I thought, is that sort of something somebody would put in a drink or something like that? But where did you get the name and how did you get it? What is it?
Mickey is Mobile Wiki, M-I-K-I. What we did was to simply recognize from the customer feedback that we had that suddenly you have customers that are becoming completely dependent upon social text as communication infrastructure, right? Where it becomes a part of their messaging backbone. So it made, you know, you also have customers like that are heavy BlackBerry users, you know, where a good part of the way that they work, their lifestyle, is these constant little terse messages, you know, sent at all hours throughout the day. That's a good thing and a bad thing, right? The accessibility of communications is a positive development. It's also something where the norms and conventions about when to turn off and turn on are a little bit difficult too. One of the problems inherent in email, for example, is what's called occupational spam. It's when you CC, blind CC, reply
right,
to all.
Right.
You're using email
I
as a broadcast
medium.
Yeah, nobody likes it,
yeah.
But there's no way really to control it, right, except for providing an alternative where people can route their messages through for group consumption, right? And then, so what ends up happening is when you set up a wiki, people will publish into the wiki instead of broadcasting by email. And then a user can choose what they want to pay attention to, whether it be through email notifications or through RSS feeds for everything, whether it be pages, tags, categories, web logs, or a whole wiki itself. What's interesting is this pull model of attention management. It becomes possible because people are sharing and communicating more openly, right? You don't have to ask, like, can you please keep me on that CC line to keep me in the loop? Because you know that people are going to be communicating openly, so maybe Friday afternoon when you've got a little bit of downtime, you can log in, look at the project log of the project that you're not directly working on, but kind of want to stay abreast of.
What applications do you see it in the future as similar to the kind of thing we were talking about earlier on your other, you know, with your other companies? Is there something that you say, well, you know, we really could see a company using it to communicate to people that are, you know, more remote, let's say, than they would normally?
Right. So I really think, so what's happening with Mickey in particular.
Right, that's
is,
what I meant, the Mickey, yeah.
Yeah. So Mickey so has only been deployed for about a month now.
Right.
But I can say that it's already having an impact on email volume. The major contributions that I've heard of is now I have people who are working out in the field who are able to access and contribute more often, right? So you step out of that pitch meeting and you've got a couple notes in your head, you need to communicate back to the team that helped prepare that pitch. You can do that in a heartbeat, right? And it may be a thing also right before you went into that meeting or under the desk with your BlackBerry, you're trying to get some pretty pertinent information, right? So it's being able to access your information anywhere, anytime. It just so happened that with a wiki, when you boil it down to very simple and usable interface, it's something that fit the usage model of mobility very well. I don't think that we're done necessarily with what Mickey can be, but the trick is doing that very judiciously so you don't end up with some kind of cluttered interface anyway.
Have you seen any unusual companies come to you and say, we're using your products this way, say some company in Alaska is like running dogs off of it or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm totally making it up.
It's amazing because every single use case for the tool has not been invented by social text, right? It's simply taking advantage. A wiki is something that starts with a blank page, right? Some people think that's a weakness, but it's actually a strength. It gets you to ask all the right questions. How do we use this, right? How do we get agreement as a group to use this tool? Where do we want to put our information, right? How do we want to structure that information? And then what's interesting is because it stays unstructured, there's never a real barrier to contribution. It's a lot like email. I just start typing away, start adding a link, add this, that, the other thing. But then over time, as more people contribute, what ends up happening is you get these better patterns of how the group starts to use it. The stuff that's less efficient kind of sifts below to the bottom of recent changes. Doesn't get quite the same amount of attention breadcrumbs, right? But the interesting use cases, I think, that we're getting pulled into now are a lot about stuff at the boundary of the firm, right? So it may be the way that, let's say, a PR firm manages itself internally initially, where they would sit there and have, you know, a press list that would be infinitely accessible, where you're being able to store and correlate with that press list blog entries that have to do with every interaction you've had with that press person, right? So you next time that you have to do that pitch, you're starting not from scratch, particularly if you have some level of turnover within your firm, right? What's interesting is when you start, they may start internally, but as they get comfort in it, when they start exposing it to clients, and this is something that we see with the number of PR firms, including our agency, A Record Eastwick, what they've done is to create spaces for their clients, and they'll do really interesting, simple things like, hey, let's do the first drafts of this press release, which is a huge pain, as you know, just as a wiki page. So we never have a question about what's the latest version, right? Or who has the next step, right? And that's done transparently. So there is more trust that's fostered in the process with the client itself. Then you end up start looking at, okay, so what kinds of communities can we build around the ecosystem of our own organization? And I think that's the part where it really gets interesting, where it's the more extranet style applications. And increasingly, when you look at the way that Intuit and a couple other companies are starting to experiment with public wikis, right? The use case literally over the last 6 months, year, it started to shift from public wikis that have to deal with an enterprise. It used to be just developer communities, right? And it is something that's almost expected, particularly out of open source developers, that there would be a wiki that I could go and find out additional documentation. If I find the documentation's wrong, I can fix it, right? I think you're going to look towards more public-facing use like that. There's an interesting thing about when you look at some of the stuff that's happened in the pure consumer wiki space, right? Just a small weird anecdote. There was Internet Brands, who's known mostly for Cars Direct, just acquired Wiki Travel and World 66 just this last week. They're travel wikis, right? These communities, the appeal there, because what that Cars Direct does is high ticket purchases, right? Travel is a high ticket purchase. In order for someone to make up their mind to get through all these complexities of choice, they need to be highly, highly engaged. And that's something I think that wiki users do more than other kinds of communities, right? Let's put it this way. We have very low threshold ways of participating with social media, from reading to tagging to digging or favoriting, you know, at a very small part, you know, with a minor level of engagement. And it may be, for example, just being a free writer, writing on or reading on Wikipedia, or maybe making a single edit. But when users start to cross over deep into a wiki and form the core of a community, they're so heavily engaged that on the consumer side, that's appealing, let's say, to advertisers. For, let's say, other kinds of work that you might want to get people to do, you're tapping into social incentives to provide a different level of engagement and different reasons for engagement into the work itself.
Wow. Well, I would love to talk and talk and talk forever, but we're going to have to bring this to a close. So before we do, I have one final question that I'm asking all my guests. So what company do you think today is doing the best marketing in the world?
Yeah.
This doesn't have to be a technology company.
Right.
It can be whatever kind of company.
Right. Well, I won't leap to easier, more brand-centric examples like Apple or something like that, but I actually think that Firefox is there. So when you look at Firefox as this upstart browser that's truly challenged a monopoly, the way that they've been able to pull off leveraging open source, having the backing of a community, and a community not just of developers, but by users, the way that they have taken a product that is open source and made it truly usable and simple, is something that's pretty significant from a product management point of view. So I'd probably point to Firefox because it's the leading example of a consumer, an open source product that is a application, not infrastructure, that has very wide consumer appeal, right? There's probably a whole bunch of others.
That's very good. I love the fact you didn't go to the obvious ones. People always bring up Apple, but it's great to have another one. So anyway, I've been talking to Ross Mayfield, who's CEO of Social Text, and it's the leading enterprise wiki company in the world. Their URL is www.socialtext.com. So thank you very much for being on Marketing Voices, Ross.
Nice talking to you, Jennifer. Thank you.
And this is Jennifer Jones. And for all the listeners with any comments, please send them to marketingvoices@podtech.net. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.